The Benson family never wanted to move to Dark Falls, but when Dad inherits a house from a great uncle they never knew existed, the opportunity seems too good to pass up. For 12-year-old Amanda and her younger brother Josh, leaving friends behind is devastating enough, but something about their new home feels fundamentally wrong from the moment they arrive. The house stands tall and imposing with black shutters, surrounded by unnaturally tall trees that block most sunlight. Even in summer, dead leaves carpet the ground. Most disturbing of all, their normally friendly dog Petey grows instantly aggressive toward Mr. Dawes, the overly cheerful real estate agent who welcomes them to town. While exploring her new bedroom, spacious with a beautiful bay window, Amanda glimpses a blonde boy watching her, who vanishes when she tries to speak to him. When she mentions possible ghosts to Mr. Dawes, he dismisses her with a practiced laugh, blaming shadows from the trees. This establishes a pattern that will haunt the family throughout their stay. Unexplained sightings, adults dismissing legitimate concerns, and an environment that feels wrong in ways difficult to articulate. Even the town itself seems designed to create unease, streets lined with trees creating perpetual shade, as if sunlight itself avoids lingering too long. Amanda's final weeks in her home are saturated with loss, as she mentally catalogs what she'll never experience there again. Her farewell with best friend Kathy embodies childhood separation, desperate promises to visit, assurances that Dark Falls isn't that far, and inevitable tears. When Kathy leaves, Amanda feels hollow, knowing life is irrevocably changing. This emotional groundwork amplifies what follows, a family already vulnerable from change now facing an unimaginable threat, making them perfect targets for Dark Falls. On moving day, a rainy Saturday morning, Amanda spots the blonde boy's face in an upstairs window, though her mother dismisses it as reflection. The house itself becomes a character, unnervingly hot despite the rain, freshly painted yet concealing something disturbing beneath. As Amanda explores, each empty room pulses with hidden danger. When her bedroom door slowly opens by itself, we share her terror, only to discover it's merely wind, a classic misdirection that temporarily relieves tension before the real horrors begin. Amanda's first night captures the disorientation of sleeping somewhere unfamiliar. Everything feels wrong. Her bed faces differently, walls remain bare, and shadows loom deeper. Despite counting by twos to fall asleep, she wakes to find her curtains billowing despite closed windows, the first tangible evidence of supernatural activity. She dreams her family sits at dinner with skulls for faces, eating bones. The moving curtains upon waking suggest the boundary between nightmare and reality is blurring. At breakfast, Amanda's parents dismiss her concerns as imagination, though her mother's exhausted appearance hints adults, too, are experiencing undisclosed disturbances. Later, Amanda spots a strange girl with short black hair giving her the coldest, most frightening smile, who vanishes when Josh arrives. Amanda later discovers her window mysteriously open, clothes laid out on her bed, and whispering from her closet. When Josh admits having similar nightmares about mean boys giggling in his room, their shared experiences validate each other as evidence mounts against rational explanation. Amanda and Josh explore their eerily quiet neighborhood until Ray Thurston suddenly appears, triggering aggressive barking from Petey, an unheeded warning. Amanda recognizes Ray as the same boy she saw in her window, creating the first direct link between the house's strange occurrences and the town's residents. A disturbing encounter follows when neighborhood kids approach in what starts as a friendly introduction but transforms into something threatening. They form a tightening circle around Amanda and Josh, growing quiet and tense, with two boys holding baseball bats, evoking the primal fear of being surrounded with no escape. The tension breaks when Mr. Dawes appears. The children immediately change behavior, claiming they're heading to the playground. Their softball game ends abruptly when Jerry Franklin blows a whistle at 11:30 and they race away urgently, following hidden rules later revealed as fleeing the potentially destructive brightening sun. 2 weeks after moving to Dark Falls, Amanda experiences nighttime whispers and glimpses what seems to be a girl in white bedding. These false alarms create a deceptive sense of security, making genuine supernatural encounters more jarring later. When Petey disappears after breaking his leash, Josh insists their dog has returned to the cemetery, prompting a midnight adventure that will reveal the town's terrible secret. As the siblings walk through silent streets, they sense someone following them, footsteps matching their pace exactly. Ray appears, claiming he often walks at night without his parents knowing. His explanation seems plausible until his tone turns threatening when insisting they avoid the cemetery. They enter despite warnings and discover a strange amphitheater that Ray claims hosts town meetings. While searching for Petey, Amanda finds gravestones bearing the names of all the kids they've met, including Ray. His confession transforms the story from a haunting to something more sinister, a town of living dead who lure families to Dark Falls for their fresh blood. The cemetery scene delivers the story's most visceral horror when Josh's flashlight beam causes Ray's skin to melt away, revealing his skull as his eyeballs roll out. Ray collapses against a gravestone, his skull cracking open, a rare level of body horror for children's literature. Racing home, they find their parents missing and Karen Somerset waiting with dead children surrounding them. These children reveal they all once lived in the Benson's house and need new blood annually, explaining why families move in and disappear, sustaining Dark Falls for decades. Mr. Dawes appears, claiming he escaped with their parents and offering safety. This hope shatters when Josh discovers Compton Dawes's grave, dated 1966 to 1996. Dawes confesses the town's secret. Everyone became living dead after yellow gas leaked from the plastics factory. This grounds the supernatural in pseudoscience. They aren't traditional zombies, but industrial pollution victims transformed into creatures requiring human blood to maintain their undead existence. The siblings' desperate plan to topple a leaning tree floods the amphitheater with sunlight, their final attempt to save their parents. When the tree falls, the light causes the dead townspeople to howl as they melt to powder, confirming their vulnerability. Karen's final words to Amanda, thanking her as her skull becomes exposed, creates an unsettling connection between living and dead. Despite being part of the conspiracy, Karen shows a flash of humanity, suggesting residents retain something of their former selves beneath monstrous needs. The family's escape provides momentary relief, but the final twist reveals horror's cyclical nature. Amanda sees a new family arriving with Mr. Dawes waiting on the porch. This ending subverts traditional resolutions. Instead of evil being defeated, the cycle continues with new victims. The town's hunger for fresh blood persists, with each family becoming part of the undead before helping lure the next. A chilling metaphor for how communities perpetuate harmful traditions across generations.